I'm Michael Cheek, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly. You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a stage.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 41 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello Jeff, hello everyone.
Cook it. No, he's gone.
Oh, no.
It's past 5 o'clock, isn't it?
Clock watcher, yeah.
Matt, what have we got coming up on this week's episode?
Well, a lot to answer that question. So we're going to discuss the victory over Boreham Wood last week and hear from Neil after that one. We're also going to relive the Maidenhead game and what a game it was. We're going to hear from Academy Director and Assistant Manager Mark Hammond on various different topics.
Twice, I think.
Yeah. We're going to discuss some good news about Rico Hackett-Fairchild and Michael Cheek. We're going to hear from Hackett-Fairchild himself as well, as well as looking ahead to the AFC Fylde match on Saturday and hearing from somebody I know very well at their end.
Fantastic. Another busy episode, so best we get going. We're going to start with Boreham Wood on Saturday, last Saturday. Don't know where to start, Matt.
Well, first of all, I think a great crowd for a game like that to get 1450 for a fixture
again,
like that.
Again, almost 1500, yeah. Like I say, I think if you'd rewind the year before.
Bank holiday weekend
what that
as well.
Would have been. Yeah. It was almost too nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it was scorching. I mean, don't be wrong, for us, no better place to be than on a football pitch on a day like that. But I can imagine a lot of pressure from potential other family members, etc., on how they would rather spend their bank holiday weekend beginning on that Saturday.
I.e. barbecues, beach visits.
we've got to get together with the family, all that stuff.
But it was a fantastic crowd, wasn't it? And the game itself, can't lie, it wasn't the most entertaining.
Going to be honest, the amount of people who came up to me in afterwards and said that's one of the most boring games I've ever seen.
Yeah, but I completely agree with them, last year we would have lost that game, and it would be games like that that we would lose, wouldn't it, Jeff? And this time we've won it, and I think Boreham Wood must have had a lot more possession than us. Not that they did very much with it, but Michael Cheek with another goal, a fantastic performance from him, and Mark Cousins as well with a couple of good saves and some great distribution. It wasn't the best game you'll see, but
Matt, it could be as boring. You know what? It could be that boring every single game to the end of the season. As long as
if
we keep picking up the points, happy
that's
days.
It. And we did.
What we've been saying over the last few weeks about ugly victories and ugly wins, etc.
Aldershot, another example.
I think Neil refers to it. I think his interview that we're about to hear, I think Neil refers to it. What did he refer to?
Well, how it was, we ground it out, didn't we? And that's what this squad has shown they're capable of doing. Previously, like I said to you, there'd be plenty of games like that that we would have lost or maybe drawn. Maybe we'd be winning 1-0 and concede at the death. And this time we seem to be, and I'm touching wood here, real wood, we seem to be getting ourselves out of that habit. So let's hope that that continues.
Disastrously tried to refer to. We did actually manage to catch up with, Matt, with Neil Smith after the game. And here's what he had to say.
Neil, 1-0 win against Boreham Wood at home, and we're now the only unbeaten side in the league.
Wow, you know, that was a tough game. That was a long 90-odd minutes, you know. I swear the ref found minutes that we didn't know that were going to be added on. But, you know, I've just said to the boys, you know, they're going to be like these games all the time. They're going to be tough. They're going to be disruptive and try and break you down. But I thought we defensively were sound. Going forward, we can be a little bit better. But, you know, great for Cheek to score. That's what we've got him in for, and that's what he'll do.
And do you feel the result's a fair reflection on the game?
Yeah, I do. You know, I know they had a bit of possession. They'll say they're disappointed with the result and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I think this time last year, we'd have probably drawn that game, might have even lost it. But I've got strong players in there. I've got strong will, desire, and I had to prove that today. But we don't expect anything different from a Boreham Wood side.
And Jack Holland hobbling off towards the end. Any update on him at all?
He'll ice it. We're in tomorrow. We'll do a training session, get ourselves ready for Maidenhead on Monday, and I'll count what players I've got come Sunday evening, but no know, they were resilient today, and you know what a replacement in Mark Anthony here. Come on, done exactly what I expected him to do, and likewise the other subs.
And as you've just been touching on there, two games in 3 days away to Maidenhead Monday, a tough side.
Very tough. You know, Alan Devonshire puts good, strong sides, hard to beat sides, very direct. So we know what we're expecting, but you know, we just got to make sure that we match the battle. You know, it's a slopey pitch down there, but I don't expect anything other than a tough game from an Alan Devonshire mate.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
I've just realised what I was trying to refer to now in Neil's interview, and that was the additional time at seven minutes, was it, at the end of the game?
It was 7 minutes, yeah. I couldn't believe it when the fourth official put it out. But I've just been racking my brains and trying to remember actually why that happened. I know Jack got injured or knocked on two separate occasions. There were a few substitutions and a couple of drinks breaks, but I think 7 minutes was perhaps a bit excessive. Mind you, like I've said to you in this podcast already, in previous years, we wouldn't have survived that, and this time we did. And it's credit to the team and credit to the management that we're at a stage now where we're able to do
absolutely
that.
Absolutely fantastic. And you think that you lose the likes of Jack Holland and possibly the past, you'd look to the bench and you'd wonder, okay, what's...
And you'd quiver
what's the replacement,
as you look to the bench, yeah.
But obviously Saturday, completely different story.
Well, Mark Anthony, I mean, what better replacement could you ask for? And I almost feel guilty calling him a replacement because he's not, and he proved that on Monday, which we'll get on to. But he came on and just shored up the defence so well. He looked completely comfortable. He's not played a lot of football this season due to his injuries and regaining his fitness. He took a knock in pre-season, but he was phenomenal when he came on, and we kept that clean sheet. A lot of thanks is down to him as well.
Obviously a lot of people love the old cliche of there's no bank holidays in football. And obviously that was truly the case for the first team squad. They were back in on Sunday morning.
They were, yeah. So get the victory on Saturday. No rest on Sunday for them. They were back in first thing in the morning. Had a session. Also went into the gym and had a presentation on Maidenhead as well, team meeting. So it's good to see everybody coming in. Everyone was in good spirits, obviously, after the win. And getting ready for Monday's trip to Maidenhead.
And obviously, we talk about Maidenhead. Like you say, quick turnaround for the boys. And I guess the heat all weekend, that the weather, you know.
Yeah,
you
even at the
just,
training
just
session.
Just how it was, even that training session on the Sunday, absolutely scorching. And like you say, trip to Maidenhead, and if anybody's ever wondering about bogey teams and stuff like that, well, Maidenhead are
up there. Yeah. Are up along there with Braintree, they're up there, yeah.
And it's never an easy trip to York Road. I think we went over in the previous podcast about our numerous visits in the past, etc., Matt, but briefly recap us, not the most successful of hunting grounds for us.
No, I think the last time we won there, and we spoke about this the other day, was the 2013-14 season when Jay May scored for us in the second half.
Jay May,
Ben May's brother, of course. I think, and we're going to get onto this later, I think that was where a certain Ammo had even more of an involvement in the second half.
Of course, yeah,
than
we're
going to
hear about that.
But I won't refer too much to it. We'll talk about that later. I think that was the last time we won there, and we have had several visits there since then. I think we had a 4-4 draw, didn't we?
5-2 loss.
And a 2-2 draw last year, dramatic, two goals in injury time for us. But the late luck at York Road, I think...
Lovely people, I will say, though.
They are fantastic.
Behind the scenes, the kit men, etc. Always very, very, very
media
welcoming.
Media people, secretaries.
Is it one of the oldest continuous... used football grounds or something?
I think it's the oldest. Wow. I might be wrong. But very, very welcoming place in terms of the staff. And we always enjoy our visits there, even if...
And a big thank you to, was it Gemma? The media? Who's
Grace.
The media person? Grace, sorry.
Yes.
Who's Gemma?
Anyway, I don't know.
big thank you to Grace, who made us feel very welcome on the afternoon as well. The game itself, Matt, I mean, we'll start with the lineup, really, I guess. Obviously, a few force changes.
Yes, we were four players short, obviously. George Porter, Jordan Higgs, Jack Holland, and who's the other one? Adrian Clifton. Thank you, Jeff. Weren't available, I should say. Adrian Clifton, obviously, against his former club, which was a bit of a shame. So to have four important players missing from not only your starting 11, but your whole squad, is going to impact you. And that resulted in, obviously, Alan Dunn, who's taken on more of a coaching role recently, being on the bench. Ollie Tanner as well, receiving a first call up to the bench, which was good news.
I'm so sorry, I've just seen...
Go on. I noticed your facial expression.
I've just been sent a WhatsApp message with... screenshot from, is it Boreham Wood's, have they been hacked?
They were hacked
on
twice.
On their Twitter account.
They've been hacked twice this year.
At Chorley FC, hope there's no crying tomorrow after Boreham Wood boys have given your team a good thrashing.
Oh my goodness.
This is on their Twitter account.
Yeah, it's been hacked as well earlier
apologies
this year.
Oh no, saying, I think they've got apologies for any unsavoury tweets. Our account was unfortunately hacked. Hashtag We Are The Wood. That's my worst nightmare.
Yeah, it's not, well, not good, is it?
Apologies, back to the game.
Yeah, so to have those key players missing was difficult. Great for Ollie Tanner to have the experience of being named on the bench, and he's a very talented player. I'm sure we'll see some of him this season.
That's always under quite often under-recognised, that the privilege or milestone or landmark of actually making that first team bench, especially when you consider the quality that we have now, and there's a lot of talk of players being named for the sake of it, or filling the bench or anything like that. But I mean,
he's there on merit, Ollie.
Fantastic.
I watched him in the under 23s game on the Friday night, actually, before the Bournemouth game, when we beat Sutton 3-1, and he played on the wing, which is not really the position he usually plays in, and he had a good game, and actually in the 88th minute scored a fantastic goal. He sort of went on a mazy run and got to the sort of the far post and put a shot across the face of goal into the bottom corner, and
how amazing that he's knocking on the door.
Yeah,
he goes and puts a fantastic performance in on the Friday. Fate intervenes potentially, or bad luck with regards to the first team and our injury situation. All of a sudden, opportunity arises, and you know what? It's given to somebody who's, you know, actually be knocking on that
but
door.
But then Neil gives these players a chance, and he always has. And you look at Spencer Cripps as well. He's given him opportunities. Both of these boys played in the first team in pre-season and actually really impressed. So you've got to look at the fact that Neil is actually really embracing of this young talent that comes through. And obviously having Mark as his assistant and his role with the academy ties in really nicely, because he's aware of the best talent that's coming out of this academy. And these two lads are certainly up there.
No, it was really, really, really nice to see. And onto the game itself. I'm sure we're going to give you some kind of professional rundown of the game and overview. Unfortunately, though, in the meantime, we've got the audio clips from myself and David Cook's commentary from York Road. I love Cookie to Bits. Matt, I don't know why you weren't commentating with me and how you ended up on Twitter duty instead.
You did call Cookie Matt several times, which was wishful thinking.
I know. And he did describe us as the A-team, which I did not condone.
No.
But anyway, as you can see, it was a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon. No, you know, it was an enjoyable afternoon, actually. It was painful. It was a painful afternoon up until the last...
Heart was racing.
I was adamant that there was one goal in it, Matt.
I agreed with you.
So when they got it, I was like, wow, okay.
That's it.
And then there was a chance where... Let's do that afterwards. Apologies for now. Here's a very, very brief rundown of the events on Bank Holiday Monday. Take a short, Raymond swings in. Great ball into the box.
Oh, the keeper comes out.
Goalkeeper came out. A fantastic punch clear. And our maiden head will break. And it running away is going to be through now. Goal.
Three Bromley players are running back.
It's 4v3 in the box. Coulson comes all the way back. It's set back.
It's going to go.
Sandwood comes out. Oh, it's a great challenge. Oh, that's a goal.
Couldn't keep it out any longer. And Maynard take the lead. We thought they had got to it. But then do you change Mark
so
a cheek?
So frustrating. Come on, Bromley. Go on, Joshua. He's off on the halfway line. Plays the ball down the line. But it's dispossessed. But he does fantastically well there to win the second ball. And he looks to come forward now. He breaks forward. And he plays the ball into the box. Set back to Cheek. Cheek, I was Coulson. Coulson left footed.
He just missed. Shot across goal. He was in about 8 yards out. And he just had the goalkeeper to beat. The goalkeeper was wide. And he made himself look big. And Luke Coulson shot across goal.
Maidenhead, every time they're without possession, they're almost back on the edge of their own box straight away.
Oh, there we go, and an error.
Loose ball now. Rico goes through. Left foot. Yes!
Get in there, Rico! Rico brings the one back for Bromley, and it's Maidenhead 1, Bromley 1.
Get in there,
fantastic. Tried to clear it. Michael Cheeks got an interception. Passing it through to Rico, who was through on goal. Cool and composed as you like, as he's done previous games, and just put it in the back of the net, and Bromley back in the game.
Oh, Matt, get in there, eh?
absolutely brilliant finish, unnerving. It was a difficult angle and he made it look easy there. Brilliant stuff from Rico.
I didn't even see what happened until Rico ran through.
I just described it.
How good is he?
Yes!
Brilliant goal.
Wood back inside to Bush. Bush lets it back to Sam Wood. We're just inside the Maidenhead half here. Sam Wood's going to play a ball back inside. Rico Baker's of space. Cuts inside. He's going to come forward. He's into the box. Into the box. Left foot. Yes!
Yes! Rico! He's done it again. He's run the ball from the middle. 25, 30 yards out. He's running through himself and put it in the corner. And unbelievable right there.
The young man. He came short. Oh, he's got the pass. Turned up. Face the goal. Inside, left foot across the goalkeeper, into the bottom corner, and it's a Maidenhead 1, Bromley 2.
And he runs over, hugging the fans. And Bromley just got a hold on now.
With that, Rico becomes our top scorer, 4 goals.
Oh, fantastic goal.
Jerry calling me, I don't know if it's a bum doll, but I can't answer because I'm commentating. But absolutely, unreal.
We got a hold on now, we know what happened here last year. It's
Go for Bromley in the 88th.
It could happen.
Minutes.
Just got to hang on now.
Hang on.
And hang on we did, Matt. An absolutely fantastic win from a goal down for the boys. And a massive thank you to everybody who part with that commentary and actually tuned in on the afternoon. I think at one point we're over 150 people. I know there's a few on holiday who tuned in. We love getting the tweets and love getting the messages over on Mixer. So a big thank you to everybody.
And the away following as well, which was brilliant.
Must have been well over
100 to 150 possibly.
It's very hard to tell. It was unsegregated, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So there's no official number. But like you say, it's fantastic. And yeah, you could see what it meant to everybody at the end of the game. So Matt, bank holiday weekend, maximum points.
Yeah.
Couldn't get any better.
No, it couldn't. Well, it could because non-league paper, Mash gave me the absolute pleasure. Mash wasn't here, and I know he'll be listening to the podcast. Mash wasn't here for the Bournemouth game. Gave me the duty of doing the report for the non-league paper, which was fantastic. I chose the star man as Michael
Cheek. Oh, that's why you weren't commentating it.
I chose the star man as Michael Cheek, and I was really pleased to see that he got into Team of the Week because I think a lot of his hard work goes unnoticed. Yeah, he pitched in with a goal, but his work off the ball is just fantastic.
Early on in the season, I think he's a bit unlucky. Wasn't necessarily, especially in pre-season, not necessarily getting the service.
No, he wasn't.
He
but
needed
now,
for the type of player he is, etc.
We're gradually getting there, aren't we?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And not only that, he got into Team of the Week for Sunday's paper. Rico Hackett-Fairchild got in Team of the Week after Monday's performance.
Love
not
it.
Surprisingly, with his 2 goals and match-winning performance, we have to say it was really, really great to see that recognised.
Oh, the way Cheek reacted quickest for the first goal set Rico up. The second goal, I don't think there was anyone else scoring that.
No.
Because he unmarked himself. He goes, I'm going to come short, I'm going to pick up the football. Picked up the football, turned. No one went with him. Just turned. The moment he faced the goal, Matt, I thought, he's not going to pass it.
He was going for goal.
He's not
going to
pass it.
No doubt in his mind.
But he was still well outside the box. But the moment he picked up, I was like, the moment he picked the ball up, turned on a sixpence almost and was faced the goal, you're like, he's not going to pass here.
Yeah.
And he just went, beat one, in the box, beat the other, left foot, far. Oh.
Brilliant finish. 2 really, really good finishes. And you have to praise the impact of Michael Cheek as well, especially on the first goal of getting onto that poor header back and actually intercepting it and feeding it through to Rico. It looks like a really, really good partnership already.
And again, even fitness-wise, I thought, as the game went on, Maidenhead looked to tire.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
We looked like the fitter, stronger team, you know, and that quality shone through in the end.
And that's credit to the management, to Ben May, to Paul the physio.
Again, you rewind a year or 2 years, we were potentially that Maidenhead. Well, you know what? Yeah, we gave everything. And we were high-pressed. We were till 70 minutes, till 75 minutes. And we weren't able to maybe go to 90, 97, you know.
Yeah,
you
now
need to do in this league.
We look like Touchwood again. We look like we're picking up the ability to do that. And it's not going to happen every time.
No one's saying, oh, this is it. We've cracked it. We've made it. Everything.
No,
of course.
You can
only judge what we've done based on those last 7 games, you know. And we are where we are. So fantastic job from everybody involved so far. The hard work continues. But Matt, you were fortunate enough to catch up with Rico after the Maidenhead game. And here's what he had to say.
Rico, a match winner today. 2 more goals for yourself. You must be delighted.
Yeah, no, absolutely buzzing. Just credit to the boys. Tough game. dug in. I think we went down, and that shows the character in the team to come back. I think we got into another gear once we conceded, and that just shows why we're unbeaten at the moment. The desire and the heart in the team is massive. Everyone wants to win. It's a team, we're doing really well, so we just got to carry on and build on it.
It seemed like a game of two halves, completely different side second half. What was the message at half time?
Obviously it was tough. It wasn't the nicest game. It wasn't pretty. And I think when they scored, they sat off, so it just gave us the time on the ball that we need to make something happen. And I think that goal actually played in, that going 1-0 down actually woke us up and put us in another gear, and we kicked on.
Four goals now in three games for you. You must be really pleased with your form.
Yeah, no, buzzing. Just.
Yeah, it's really good. He's a hero.
Welcome, Jack.
You know, he's been brilliant since he's come in. He's got his head down. He's worked, and he's, you know, the fruits are coming now. So,
do you rate the finishes?
Not really. I think they were easy chances. No, he's been brilliant.
Yeah, two fantastic finishes as well, and great scenes behind the goal.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's always good when you get some goals, and especially when it's to win the game. Just got to build and get as many as I can.
And how do you keep the energy levels up? It's really, really hot here today.
Yeah, no, it's tough. But everyone's got the same conditions. It's all neutral, so it's just got to get through it.
Rico, well done, and we look forward to Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from Rico there, Matt. A young lad who's obviously maturing very quickly. I know it sounds sort of cliche, but you get a lot of younger players. I know, I understand he's been at Chol and obviously has played at level, but you get a lot of players who you tend to do an interview with them, and if you're unfortunate enough, it tends to be a yes and no. Yeah, oh, no, you know. Yeah. But even in the interviews I've heard of him so far, that was, you know, it's amazing how far he's I don't know what the word is, sort of coming across more professional with every interview I hear of him.
Definitely, that's 100% the truth. He spoke really, really
compared to me anyway.
He spoke really, really well in that interview, I'm sure all of you will agree. And not only that, but he's come on leaps and bounds on the pitch as well. I remember when we saw him play against us for Boreham Wood earlier last season, and he was just not very effective, to be honest with you. And then he joined us on loan, and he was a different player already. And now he's getting better and better and better. And, you know, you look at this guy who's 21, 22, and he's just going to carry on that upward trajectory. And trajectory, easy for me to say, and keep getting better. And he's adding goals to his game now as well, which is really, really important. And what a player we have on our hands. And I can't wait to watch him again. He's very exciting.
That was an absolutely fantastic capture in the summer. I know people I know it's early on again,
but he wanted to come here, didn't he? That speaks volumes about the club.
To the stage where he was flying out on holiday that day?
Or, yeah, he was.
I remember he back to when we signed.
He was trying to get it done, wasn't he?
Literally, the day of his holiday. Again, fantastic job there from Neil and catching Rico. Great to see that Rico obviously believes in the club's vision, etc., where we're at, and it's been great to see him evolve even in the seven games that we've witnessed so far this season. Bit of improv here. Shout out to Cookie, whose clock watching has gone home at 5 o'clock, but he actually did manage to catch a bit of a fantastic little piece really for us with Mark Hammond earlier. We're going to stick on the subject of Maidenhead United. Some of you may recall Mark Hammond, our assistant manager and academy director, having to run the line at Maidenhead once. If you don't remember, you're about to hear all about it, because it's a four-minute interlude into this week's podcast. It's a fantastic listen. So sit back and enjoy as David Cook and Mark Hammond take a little trip down memory lane.
Played Maidenhead Monday, and as a few people remember, you seem to have a particular memory of the Maidenhead game a few years ago.
So I remember being in the dugout with Gaffer and Mark Goldberg, and then we saw the referee had gone down and he'd pulled his calf. So we needed to win, and it was the momentum we needed. We needed it because of obviously the promotion year and what we was working towards. And I remember being at half time, we were 1-0 up, and it was. I remember they put the announcement over the tannoy saying, "Look, is there anybody that's a qualified linesman and a qualified referee?" Nobody was coming forward, so our option was to pull the game. Now, Maidenhead's a difficult place to go, a very, very difficult place to go traditionally. So we wanted the game to go ahead because we was 1-0 up and we felt that we could win. And there was no chance that we wanted the option of rearranging the game and going back there on a Tuesday night. So I remember being, I remember seeing Mark Goldberg, their manager at the time, which was Dax. Sorry, Drax, and Del Brown, who I played with. So Brownie and Drax were there, and they were kind of negotiating with the ref what the options were. The referee had pulled his calf completely. It had gone. So Maidenhead are trying to get the game cancelled. There was a delay into the kickoff in the second half, so nobody has come forward. There was Maidenhead officials, and the secretary was there. Our secretary was there, Jeff, at the time, and we were all thinking, right, trying to barter with the best option for both teams. Anyway, I thought, right, I'll offer to be the linesman to go ahead, because obviously, you know, doing your qualifications and everything. So I said to Goldberg, I said, listen, I'll be lino, I'll go and do it, and then we can get the game ahead. For whatever reason, Maidenhead have gone with it. So Drax has agreed it, we've agreed it, I've gone back out as linesman, put the shirt on that the other lino had. So we start the game. As the game's going on, a couple of decisions I've got right, but I'm feeling the heat. The Maidenhead fans are absolutely giving me pelters. The banter, and by the way, if there are any linesmen out there, I understand what you go through, but you got to go through it. It's part and parcel of the role. Then all of a sudden, there was an incident where Swainy and Jack had played their forward on, but Swainy has put his hand up, but I haven't given it. So Swainy's now looking at me and swearing and are you going to bleep this?
No, don't.
Bloody in our ammo, get out, put your flag up in our lino. What are you doing? Ammo. So I'm screaming back at him, but started to coach him. Swainy, you're playing him on. You need to be there when the ball's on the other side. Step up, get in line, make sure you're up with him. Then all of a sudden, Drax is screaming at the ref, going, ref, he's coaching his back four. He can't be coaching his back four. What's he doing? So then I'm turning to Brownie. Brownie's going, F off, ammo. What are you doing? You can't. How have we allowed this to happen? He's coaching the back four. So in the end, I'm standing there coaching the back four with Joe Anderson. It was Swain, Rob Swain, Jack Holland, Hugo Adoji, basically managing the back line. And there was another incident where the board got transferred and Joe Anderson has gone to kick the ball and it's clipped their player, but only slightly, and gone off. And I've given it to Maidenhead. And he's turned round and absolutely volleyed me. But I've chewed. So I'm now going at Joe, going, who the fuck are you talking to? Like, I'm telling you, it come off him. So we're now having a near standoff because he thinks I should be on his side and should be totally. Look, all jokes aside, it was an eventful day, and we won 1-0, and that was part of one of the games that we won that helped the promotion year.
That's fantastic. And would you ever lino again?
No.
Mark Abbon, thank you very much for joining us.
An absolute brilliant listen there. Big thank you to Cookie. He came to me earlier in the week and he said, oh, I've got an interview with Ammo, you can put it on a podcast. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, what's the subject? Let me have a listen. Absolutely fantastic. Really, really enjoyed that. Matt, obviously attention turns to AFC Fylde this weekend. Another big game. Obviously the players more than ever deserve everybody's support. It'd be great to match if not improve on the Boar and Wood crowd on Saturday, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. Hope to see as many down here as possible. It'll be really, really great. AFC Fylde, aside, we've played four times in our entire history, being a relatively new club that they are. We've won once, drawn once, and lost two. So let's hope we can balance up that record somewhat. Obviously,
so I don't think we've ever won at their place, if I recall.
We were 2-0 up, actually, in our first visit there, and we ended up drawing 2-2.
I remember that.
And obviously, last year, we played there and lost 2-1. 1-1 after drawing 1-1.
He's got potato wedges.
He's just coming in with a constant.
Oh, fine, honestly.
I will have some in a minute, definitely. Yeah, not while I'm talking, though. Danny Rowe with the second half wonder strike to win it. I think you remember that one, Jeff. I'm sure you do. And then the most recent game coming against them, I think it was in January. It was definitely towards the sort of latter parts of last season. JJ Hooper with 2 goals to see us beat them 3-2. An unfortunate injury to Mason Bloomfield, one of their players, which saw him stretchered off, which wasn't very nice at all.
Oh my gosh, was that the wrist or the
yes,
hand?
Yes, it was the wrist. Yeah, it was. Yeah,
the bone came through. Anyway,
no, not good. And yeah, we obviously went on to win that game, which was fantastic, and sort of saw our resurgence towards the end of last season. So hopefully, we can balance up that record somewhat tomorrow. Everybody knows the danger man in Danny Rowe, and let's see. Hopefully, we can continue our good form.
I must admit, you fear for when I was seeing the results at the start of the season, and then they had those two 4-1 defeats on a spin.
Yeah,
and you're like. Typical Bromley, what happens is you think you're about to play a side who maybe aren't in form, etc. And I had a fear. I'm thinking, they're going to change your manager. Yeah. Always happens with teams like that. You find out that you think, oh, OK, we might be playing a side that aren't in form. And don't get me wrong, there's two sides of coin to that. Great, you're playing a side not in form. Not good, because they're bound to turn the corner one day and you hope that's not going to be your game, of course. But, you know... Usually, when that situation with us, they usually end up appointing a new manager on the Monday before they're playing us, and then on the Saturday, all the players are out to impress the new manager, and they do fantastically well. But obviously, they haven't changed their manager, Matt, and they're. I presume they're heading down on Friday, I guess, to us.
I think so. They did that last year, obviously. I spoke to a few people at their end, and they did. I think they stayed in Croydon last time. So this season, obviously, they've played 7 games. They've won 2, drawn 3, and lost 2. And as Jeff referred to there, those 2 defeats were 4-1 defeats. But their most recent game was a 0-0 draw at home to Harrogate Town. Again, another good side. And the two sides they lost 4-1 to, in all honesty, Woking and Halifax, who are sandwich us in the table, Woking at top and Halifax at third. True. They are good sides, so we'd love another 4-1 defeat for them tomorrow, wouldn't we? But we'll see what happens. It's sure to be a tough game. They were tipped as title favourites, actually, or promotion favourites, I should say, this season.
Oh, quite rightly. They've got 2 players in every position.
Yeah, they have. They've got a very, very deep squad and have spent a fair bit of money as well. So we'll see how they get on, but fingers crossed we can get a good result tomorrow.
Matt, a fantastic professional summary as ever to our opposition. However, we have a bit more knowledge on the opposition, courtesy of a contact up there, Matt.
Yes, somebody I've known for a while now, Brian Porter, who's my counterpart at AFC Fylde, the stadium announcer. And actually, I've known Brian for a handful of years now. He came down to watch Bromley when we were in the Conference South and came to chat to me after the game as a fellow stadium announcer. We had a good catch-up, actually, when we went up there and birthday cakes galore, and I won't go into that now. But yeah, Brian's a great guy.
I do remember that. We were in a press box and he brought a cake through. There was also a woman watching a game in front of us and she had a dog in her coat.
Yeah, it's weird, wasn't it? What a weird.
I think it was a chihuahua.
It was my birthday, actually. But Brian's very, very knowledgeable on all things AFC Fylde, and here's his summary of how they've got on this season so far.
Hi guys, how are you doing? It's Brian Porter here, the stadium announcer at AFC Fylde. Really looking forward to meeting up with you again on Saturday as Bromley entertain AFC Fylde. I always enjoy my trips down to see you guys, and I see no different this weekend. Well, it's been interesting, to say the least, since we last met. Of course, you'll remember that AFC Fylde got to the playoff final and were, in fairness, soundly beaten by Salford City to go up into the English Football League. But then, no less than a week later, we were back there at Wembley Stadium, this time to lift the FA Trophy, becoming the first team ever to have won the FA Vase and then the FA Trophy. So a really good end to a really exciting season, with players having worked unbelievably hard to get where we got to. And I guess at the end of a season, you finish up where you deserve to be. So just shy of going up was probably where we deserved to be on balance throughout last season. Of course, that installed us as early favourites to go for automatic promotion this season. And Dave Challoner, our manager, lost no time in getting down to work in signing players ahead of this season's campaign. lots of summer activity with no less than 10 signings coming in and a number of notable departures. Most notably, five players who played for AFC 5 last season are now playing league football at either League 2 or League 1 level. So congratulations to each and every one of those. It's fair to say that this season has been a mixed start, an understatement. A good win at Aldershot, I thought, first day of the season. I thought we looked good value for a 2-1 win. Worked hard in patches, but faded away a bit in the second half. I didn't see the game against Ebbsfleet that we won 1-0. But by all accounts, it was a very windswept day, and a Danny Rowe penalty was what separated the two sides. Draws against Chorley, Hartlepool and Harrogate have gone in the middle. And I don't suppose you've forgotten the two heavy defeats we've suffered at the hands of Woking at home and Halifax away, both 4-1. And Dave Challoner lost no time in telling the players exactly what he thought of both performances, even apologising for the performance against Halifax. Now, in the meantime, Luke Burke, who played 71 games for us all told, has departed the club. Details are a bit sketchy, but I think it was down to they weren't happy with certain things that had gone on both on and off the pitch. So AFC Fylde and Luke Burke have parted their ways. So we look forward to coming down on Saturday, and here's to a good game.
A big thank you to Brian there for such an in-depth analysis of our opposition for Saturday. No doubt we'll make him feel welcome, Matt.
Yeah, very much so. They always say what a great welcome they get when they come here, as do a lot of clubs, so I'm sure that will continue.
Moving away from first team affairs now, Matt, we're going to move on to the academy development and obviously the players we've got out on loan. Matt, you've got a summary and update for us?
Yeah, so as I'm sure I referred to earlier on in this podcast, we had a fantastic 3-1 win for the under-23s against Sutton on Friday before the Bournemouth game. Goals from Bobby Mills, DeJean Spencer and Ollie Tanner sealed a 3-1 victory, which was really, really great to watch, actually. In terms of a loan watch, Kerry Beffen started for Hartley Whitney, a lot of you have fond memories of, and actually played for an hour in their 0-0 draw against Gosport. Again, good memories from that one in the BetVictor Southern.
Oh my God, very good memories.
Yes, very much so. Billy Krask and Briggs Ogerman, I know a lot of you keep an eye on both of those, started in Glebe's 2-1 win against Erith and Belvedere on Bank Holiday Monday. And Ollie Tanner was called up to the bench for the first team, as we've discussed already, against Maidenhead United, having already played for a lot in the first team in pre-season. So fantastic to see these young players making a mark.
Absolutely brilliant. And obviously, we on the academy front, Matt, who managed to catch up? Someone got with Hammo. Oh, of course, it was Cookie, wasn't it?
It was Cookie, yeah.
Apologies.
Unfortunately not with us, but...
So Cookie managed to catch up with Hammo, not on Maidenhead this time, but this time on the academy.
It's been an exciting week, so looking forward to catching up with you about the academy. The first years have obviously joined the team now, and the academic year started again.
Yeah, started this week, and so they're all settled now into the Ravensbourne School, and then the Bromley College campus that starts on September the 9th. But all the training sessions are up and running. It's nice to have all the staff back in, especially Tom Beaumont, who's head of education. I've missed him for a few weeks, but nice. It's good to have everyone back.
So with that now, obviously Bromley Football Club, with the link to the college and Ravensbourne School, we're now able to offer BTEC scholarships and also A levels.
Yeah, so we across the two sites, we offer A level curriculum subject choices, and BTEC level 3, we offer BTEC level 2, but also alternative qualifications like gym instructor level 2 and personal training level 3 qualifications, and we've just recently launched a sports therapy qualification. So it's all good. There's an array of choices for the students and players to pick, really.
That's brilliant. And as the academy continues to grow, we're now looking at the ladies team that come in on the first year. They're now moving up obviously to the second year, and we've got a new wave of ladies coming through at the academy.
Yeah, it's amazing. We'll have two squads this year, and obviously the exciting news that we've been accepted into the National Football League for the female squads. They're going to be playing the likes of Chelsea, Bournemouth, Southampton, Oxford City, Oxford United. It's an exciting time for the female game.
Great to hear all the updates on the academy. Some fantastic positive progress made there, clearly. Fantastic to see we've still got a relationship with Ravensbourne School, but not only that, it's grown and expanded to the London South East Colleges, or Bromley College, as we all know it, Matt. Really good to hear.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's easy to forget, isn't it, when you come in on a daily basis here and you see all the boys and the girls milling around, having matches, having training sessions, going over to the school, actually how much work goes into it. And it's credit to Mark, credit to Sue, credit to Tom and all the other fantastic academy staff who cater for these kids. And it's great to see some of the talent coming through as well. But yeah, really nice to have an update on that from Ammo himself.
And obviously, back to first team affairs. There's only one real thing that matters, Matt, and obviously that's AFC Fylde tomorrow, Saturday the 31st of August, 3 o'clock kickoff. Get a free pint. Oh, free pint, Matt.
It's a good pint as well. Really,
it is a good pint. Pint of Spitfires. Pint of Spitfire Lager, isn't it?
We haven't had any Spitfire tonight.
And it's before 1 o'clock, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So it's between 12 and 1 o'clock. Obviously, we'll be opening the Ravens Bar at 12 for Bromley supporters. So yeah.
And for AFC Fylde supporters, actually. Yes. No segregation tomorrow. And what's on the telly? Southampton versus Man United on the big screen, and on the other eight screens in Ravens Bar. A big thank you to everybody who turned up early for the last game. I think there was almost 100 people who took up the offer of free pint and came in early for the game. Really great to you know, it's really good to see fans turn up as early as possible for the games, and it's great to see the atmosphere building up in the Ravens Bar even earlier than it usually does. So hopefully we'll get to see as many of you down nice and early on Saturday. Nightmad set, Ravens Bar open from midday, and it's a free pint of Spitfire for everybody who turns up before 1 o'clock. Matt, ticket information?
Yes, you can find it all on bromleyfc.co.uk. Obviously, you can get your advance tickets and save money until 1 o'clock tomorrow. Again, the link for that is on the website and has been tweeted, Facebook, Instagrammed out several times. And you will still be able to get tickets on the turnstiles if it's maybe a last minute decision for you to come. You definitely should. Come on, Bromley.
Happy days. I think that's it, Matt. Big thank you to everybody as ever who's downloaded, listened, pup with us over the last few weeks. Really appreciate it. Please pass it on. Tell your friends. Tell your mates. Who's playing at home? Palace and Millwall are at home, aren't they?
Charlton are away.
Charlton fans, or you've got mates who are Charlton fans. They're away somewhere, God knows where. Make sure they come down to Hayslade. Try and introduce us to some real football. Matt, I think that's about it, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's been a pleasure as always.
Big thank you again to everybody who's listened. And we'll be back again next week. Just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.